Good to have you. You with me, or me with you today. If you would, turn with me in your Bible to the book of Joshua, chapter number 24. Joshua 24 is where we will start today. It is always good to be with you all here. And New Life, I was thinking just a few minutes ago when I was back there, just worshiping with you, I probably hear more about this church than I do any church in our association. And that's just simply because Jimmy and I, we spend a lot of time together. And so it's always a joy, and it's always scary. I don't know if you know it, but Jimmy's kind of a visionary guy. And y'all know that about your pastor? Yeah, y'all wake out there. You didn't have enough coffee this morning, I can tell. Let me just get this out of the way. I'm going to have a good time with or without you today, so I'd much rather y'all come with me, all right? I want you to come with me on this time. And Jimmy and I, as we get together, he is moderator of our association, so we spend a lot of time together. But even before he was moderator, we spent a lot of time together. And matter of fact, I spent a lot of time here in this building even before I became your director of missions many years ago. I was trying to think when that was, our first mission trip into this area. I don't know, your first year in this building, whenever that was probably the first year that we were here. So it's always a joy to be with you. I appreciate your pastor and his family. I really do. Jimmy and Carla are great, great friends. They really are. I just appreciate them and their vision and their humbleness, and yet their desire to lift up Jesus Christ. And so I count him as one of my dearest friends, and I'm grateful to be able to just be here with you all this morning. I know that I see them on Facebook. They're sucking up fumes of a racetrack right now, I understand, and it's good to get away. It really is. And so I'm grateful they're able to get away and rest and relax. And he dissed us on a meeting we've got tomorrow. And anyways, I think via email we've all decided we're just going to go join him down there for the meeting. That's the way it works, but it works out good. I will give you a report. As I was going through the crowd there at the Will Graham celebration, ran in to many of you, and I want to say thank you for being there and attending. And God just did a great work in the life of that celebration. In-house, can you imagine this? In-house, there were over 400 people that came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Isn't that a great thing? Amen. We can give the Lord a round of applause. One of the most amazing things is how that it goes out throughout the world. Through that time of celebration, over 800, whether that be through Facebook or whether that be through website, also over 800 total salvations for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. That's amazing, isn't it? You can give the Lord a round of applause for that. We are excited. 62 countries watched that via Facebook Live or website or Twitter or whatever else they do. They watch that. So what an awesome testimony. You know, you stop and think about it. You know, 800 people. That's a small town coming to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. That is remarkable. That's amazing what God did. And you all were a part of that. And I want to say thank you to that. This morning, as I get into our Word, it's a very, very familiar passage of Scripture. And God kind of used this this passage of Scripture and maybe this mindset. And I'm looking at it a little different area and a little different way than I probably have ever looked at. And that is, I look at things sometimes a little different. Here's what I want you to think about as we even read the Scripture here in just a minute. Listen to what I'm about to say. The mindset of the people that were being spoken to at that moment. The mindset. You know, we read that Scripture a lot of times, and yet we forget the mindset that maybe was going on. I don't know about you, but a lot of times I'll read a passage of Scripture, read over it, round it, through it, whatever. But then I forget sometimes to think this question, what were they thinking? Now, we know what Joshua was thinking about in this passage of Scripture. He was kind of, if you will, dropping the gauntlet. He was saying, this is the way that it's going to be. But I want you to think about this. Listen to what I'm about to say. I want you to think what must have been going on in the mind of the people as we look at Joshua chapter 24. Now listen to what the Bible says, because I really want us to look at the mind of the people today. Joshua chapter 24 and beginning of verse number 14, and I've got KJV, it says this, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord." Verse 15. "And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served, or whether the on the other side of the flood, or the god of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But I love this. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Verse 16. "And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us to our fathers to our land of Egypt, the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us the people, even the Ammonites, Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore, and ye also serve the Lord, for He is our God." And Joshua said unto the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sin. But if ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He'll turn and do you hurt, harm, and consume you after that He hath done you good." Verse 21. "And the people said to Joshua, No, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said to the people, You are witnesses against yourself that ye have chosen the Lord to serve Him. And they said, We are witnesses." Verse 23. "Now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which were among you, and incline your hearts in the Lord God of Israel." Listen to verse 24. "And the people said unto Joshua, The Lord our God we will serve, and His voice will we obey." This morning, I want you to think about what they had gone through. There was a mind game that was going on in their life. Joshua was just, he was calling them out. He was saying, "Do you not remember the gods that you served, the gods of the old, the things that..." Here's what he was saying. "You remember the stuff you used to do? You remember where you used to be? You remember the stuff that used to consume your mind? You know the people that you used to follow, the fake gods? Here's what he was saying. You remember yesterday?" He was bringing yesterday up to us. He was telling us about our mind. He was confronting them with reality. Here's where I want us to focus today, and that is this. I want to look at five things, five steps into a real life. Now, I want you to understand something here today. Let's just get this out of the way. Let's just get it out. Here's the beauty of coming in and just kind of preaching. I'll be gone next week, so I can be honest with y'all this week, right? Amen? I'm going to have a good time with or without you, so please come with me. Here's the reality. I'm going to be honest with you this morning. And listen to what I'm about to say. Don't say "ow" or anything like that, but I'm going to be honest. In all of our lives, there's a Sunday us, and then there's a Monday us. I'm just going to let that lie for just a little bit. A lot of times we put on church for a little while. Now, listen, you're saying, "Preacher, you're a preacher standing up there saying that." I want you to know that many times preachers are guilty of the very same thing. We act like we've got it all together. Today, if we were just being just blatantly honest, let's just put it this way. If we were blatantly facade, fake today, we would come in today and we would walk in the church house doors and someone would say, "How you doing today, brother?" And you'd say, "I'm doing great." And yet, maybe you all argued all the way to church, but you get to church and all of a sudden, it's all good. Amen? Don't look holy at me. I'm trying to be real here this morning. You say, "But preacher, I live alone." Okay. You argued with yourself all the way to church this morning. All right. I mean, "Preacher, I was by myself." Sometimes we argue with ourselves and we get to church and everything is okay. But then the reality hits. Can we just be honest this morning? There's no one in this room if we'll be honest before the sight of God, would be honest to say, "Preacher, I've got it all together. Everything in my family's good. Everything in my finances are good. Everything in my relationships are good. My children are good. My grandchildren are good. My sons and daughters are good. My grandparents are good. My family's good. My job's good. My preacher, everything is going good." Would there dare be anyone to lie today and say, "That's me, preacher. I got it all going on"? Listen to me. You need this sermon if you raise your hand. Because I'll be honest with you, I've never met anybody save Jesus that had it all together. Y'all with me this morning or not? So can we start the sermon from that platform today? We all have got a need in our life. You see, Joshua was looking at some people in his life and he was looking at them going, you're portraying one thing, but he reminded them, "Don't you remember I was with you? I remember you taking care of and serving the God of the Amorites. I remember that." Joshua was cutting to the quick. This morning, I pray that we'll cut to the quick. Our verse for the association theme this year has become James 4:10, and it simply says, "Humble yourself in the presence of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. He will exalt you." You see, the key to us is not that we go to God and say, "I got this," but it's to come to God and say, "God, I don't have this. I don't got it. God, you've got it." Humble ourselves and He'll lift you up. You see, the Bible teaches us, and I'm going to throw out some references and mention them, and you can write them down and go back and study them. But Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 2, a beautiful chapter of Scripture, reminds us this, that we are to renew our minds. You see, here's what I find is this, that where defeat comes in the average child of God's life is not necessarily in the practice. They can teach a Sunday school class. They can lead music. They can be a deacon. They can serve in a ministry. But where the real battle takes place today, if we'll be honest, is right here. That's where the battle's at. The battle is that Satan would say to a young man that recently surrendered to the ministry, "You're not worthy, you're not ready, you're not equipped." And truly what God would say to you is this, "It is not about you, it's about Him through us," and that is what God's looking for. God's not looking for a perfect vessel to use, God's looking for a willing vessel to be used. You see, the beauty of the Scripture is that He reminds us that we need to renew our mind. We need to get alone with God. And today, I'm here today to tell you, that's what God's desire. Five things this morning. Jimmy told me I only had an hour and 45 minutes to preach to you all, so I'm going to do it real fast, all right? Some of you all needing CPR. I'm just kidding. I'm going to get through this. Here's what I want us to look at. In verse number 1 through verse 14, for the sake of time, you can go back and read that. And here's what I've got down is this, just fake. I've met people in my life that I look at and they, "Hey, how you doing?" And all enthusiastic, and yet I know in their life that life is crumbling all around them. And yet they want to portray that everything is okay, and yet in all reality, there ain't nothing right in their life. Let me tell you something today. It matters not what you portray. What does matter is what is true. What's going on in your heart and your life? We've got to be, here's what I've learned. You've got to be honest with yourself before you can ever, ever make any progress in your life. You see, first of all, let's be real. Let's stop with the fake. And that is what Joshua chapter number 24, verse number 1 through verse number 14 is all about. We've got to stop with the fake. We've got to admit, man, I'll stand before you. You all can just come along for the ride. I'll stand before you transparent today. And let me just tell you, listen to me. I need Jesus every day of my life. I will mess it up without Him. I need Him every day of my life. And here's the reality. I must quit acting like I have it all together. You see, the reality is this, that a lot of times church people try to live that way and look that way, that they've got it all together. And here's what I found in my years of ministry, over 20 years of ministry now. That's hard for me to imagine saying that because, again, in my mind, I'm still just barely 20, but I'm far beyond that. But in 20 years of ministry, here's what I found that is a very difficult struggle, and that is this, that as I look around, what the world truly needs to see is not children of God acting like they've got it all together, but children of God that are simply saying, listen, I'm not all that I ought to be, but by the grace of God, I'm not what I was. I'm not what I once was. I'm a work in progress, and God's not done with me yet. How do you know that? Because I got a pulse. I'm still breathing air. God's still working on me. There's that old song, He's still working on me to make me what He ought to be. Took Him just a week to make the moon, the stars, the sun, and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. But oh, how loving and patient He must be, because He is still working on me. You think about that. Took Him 7 days to make all this world in which we live in, but He is working on us every single day of our life. This morning, I want us to quit acting like we have it all together. We need to know that people listen. We need people in our life who will listen to us. Let me ask you today this question. Who is it that will listen to the true you? Who is it that will listen to the true you? You need that in your life. Now, I've got some people, my wife sitting over here, I don't have to tell her the true me, she knows the true me, and sometimes I can portray what's, and she can look at me and I know with those tender eyes and loving eyes that she ain't buying what I'm saying. I need rest, I need to, any of y'all understand what I'm talking about? Listen, we need people like that in our lives. I thank God for the friendship of Jimmy that I can share with him. I thank God for the friendship of other pastors in this association that I can share with them, that of my father, and even when my grandparents were alive, that very thing. Listen to what I'm ready to say. Let's just quit being fake and let's be real today. We need people that we can talk to and be real with. We can say, man, I'm messed up. That's hard to say, isn't it? Those are words that are hard to say. You see, let me just tell you today, let me just kind of blow your mind just a little bit, if you will. You're not that hard. You're not that hard. You know, I've known those. There's a gentleman that I've done mission work with for a long, long time. I can remember when I first met him. Man, he portrayed to be one of the hardest guys that I've ever met in my life. When I first met him, we were ministering to his children. We'd pick them up on the church bus. I'd drop them off. He'd come out of the house. He'd cuss me out and run me off his property. I mean, he was hard. He thought he was very hard. But you know what I found is there was a day when Jesus humbled him. He gave his heart and his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. This guy was rough. This guy spent some time in the pen. He was rough. He was, his rap sheet's a real long rap sheet. But here's what I love about that. Even the hardest of hard, God can make the softest of soft. He can harden. Listen, we're not that hard that God cannot soften. How do you know that? Well, I've read about a man by the name of the Apostle Paul. He was the worst of the worst, and God brought him and humbled him. Listen to me today. I don't care how hard you think you are, how tough and how bad and how strong that you think you are. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. The truth is this, that you're not that hard that God cannot soften you and make you pliable and make you available for the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 5, it says this, that everything will be brought to light. One of these days, the dark things will be brought to light. We need to know that. First, let's be real. Let's stop with a fake. Second is this. We need to quit lying to ourselves. Listen to what it says in verse number 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve you in the sincerity and the truth. That you put away the gods of your father, served on the other side in the floods and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Listen, he said to him, listen, you need to quit believing the lie and you need to start serving the truth. Here's what I want you to know today. And listen, this is for me as much as this for anyone in this room today. I pray that you'll hear this. Listen, you need to quit lying to yourself. There is a world around us that is lying to ourselves. And let me just give you some insight. It doesn't help fix the problem. Well, I've got it all together. No, you don't. Can I get an amen in that? None of us have it together, do we? I mean, the reality, oh, well, I've got it all. Listen, stop. Stop. We're lying to ourselves. Why? It doesn't help. Listen, you know who you really are. Behind closed doors, in the quiet of your life, the confines of your own room, your own house, your own car, on the walk in the park, you know who you really are. There's no need lying about that, because here's the reality. Remember 1 Corinthians 4:5, everything will be brought to light. We all stand transparent before God. And here's the reality. You can fool me today. You can walk out and say, shake my hand and say, preacher, I just want you to know that you got, I got it all together. I don't know who that sermon was for. It was good, but it wasn't for me. Listen, you may be able to fool me, but here's the catch. I don't matter. God does. You can't fool Him. He knows where you're at. You see, honesty is so important in our own lives. The Bible talks about that from Genesis to Revelation, about how that we've got to be honest and transparent before God. We've got to admit, listen, I'm a mess, but I need Jesus. Even the disciples that followed Him, when they got honest with God, that's when God could use them in a great way. God can never use a person totally that is not totally and completely committed to God until they realize this: I am in desperate need of something, and that something is a sweet walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, most everyone around you, here's what I love. You can portray yourself as hard, but those that know you best know you best. They already know that. You're not fooling those people that are around you. I can remember growing up that there was times in my life that I would try to portray one thing. And I can remember I had parents that loved me enough that they were honest with me, and they looked at me and they're like, you know, that's not true. Boy, that popped my bubble, didn't it? I mean, any of y'all have parents like that? That's just not real. And I thought, well, thanks a lot. You know, I'm portraying myself. Listen to me. The people around us already know who we really are. They already know. Most everyone around you already knows that you're not being real. There's a facade there. You know what I found is when we're real and honest, the Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 28, He says, listen, come to Me and I'll give you rest. You see, it is a hard thing to live a lie. It's a draining thing to live a lie. It's a consuming thing to live a lie. And when we begin to live a lie, what happens in our life? We begin, why do we search out these things that destroy us? Why? It's because we're trying to live a lie. What happens? We find ourselves at the bottle. We find ourselves drinking. We find ourselves drugging. We find ourselves lying to our neighbor. We find ourselves, listen, it creates this avalanche that happens in our life that ultimately ends up in destruction. I know too many people that have taken their own lives because they have built a lie about their life that they could not live up to. We become our own worst enemy sometimes. This passage of Scripture is Joshua looking at the people saying, quit playing games. We're not going there anymore. So first, let's be real. Stop with the fake. Two, quit lying to ourselves because it doesn't help. Third is this: the choice is yours. Verse number 15, we see that Joshua is looking at them and he says, seems evil to you to serve the Lord. But he was saying to them, there's a choice today. You have a choice today. Right now, this morning, listen to me, you have a choice today. You say, I'm not choosing anything. By not choosing, you're choosing. Let me, some people miss this. They mix this up. Let me just bring it to elementary level for you today. On a test, there is a question, and that question your teacher gives to you is to be answered. Let me ask you this question. You have either a wrong answer or a right answer or no answer. Let me ask you this question. If you decide to leave that test question blank, do you think they go, oh, okay, well, let's just bypass that? No. well, not in any of the schools I've been to. When I leave it blank, guess what? There's an X that goes over that number. Today, I want you to know, let's make this real simple. By not choosing to do things God's way, you think that you're not making a choice. No, listen to me. By not making a choice, you have made the wrong one today. Choose you this day, Joshua said. There's no blank. There's an A and a B answer. Fill it in. Choose you this day. The choice is yours. Where do you want to be in your life? And that's what Joshua is saying to them. Choose you this day. But then at the latter part, he says there's the gods of this and that and Amorites and the things of the old and where you've been and the places you've come. And he talks about those things. But then at the end, he makes a declaration. And what is that declaration? But as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. My friends, thank God for that type of decision today. Today, I wonder, what is that decision in your life? Listen to me. Listen, we've got to understand that the choice is yours and you are where you want to be today. Some say, well, I'm just not where I want to be in my life. Today, listen to me. I love you, but I've got to be honest with you. You are where you want to be. Oh, no, I've got this. And listen to me. Listen to what Mary say. Decisions we make in our life drive us to where we are today. Preacher, but you don't know. You don't know the things I've gone through. You don't know the heartaches that I've had. Preacher, you don't know the valleys that I've been through. And I say to you, amen, I do not. But let me just stand before you as a man that has been through many a valley. And let me say to you this, you don't know where I have been. There's been times in my life that, listen, I would much rather it have ended than for me to have gone on. But I want you to know, by the grace of God, I stand here today before you. And I'm grateful that I continue to trust in Jesus, the one that was my anchor. When my mother and father were a long way away, when there was no family around, when there was nothing to anchor myself to, when it looked as though the world was hopeless and helpless, when I looked around and said, oh God, where are you? I'm grateful today that I simply went back to the book and said, oh God, thank you that at Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2 is true. Renew me, oh God. I want you to know that there was a dark time in my life that I prayed, God, let it all in. But I stand here before you today as a man that I want you to know that I've been in that valley. I've been through that struggle. I'm here today to tell you that, listen, God's grace is sufficient. I stand here today by the mighty hand of God. My friends, and He's good enough for me. I'm no different than you. His grace is sufficient for you as well. See, the choice is yours. I want you to know that many times you are your own worst enemy. You are your greatest encouragement as well. Today, I don't know what valley you came in. Listen to me. I promise you, Jimmy and I didn't sit down and go over the text. This is what God laid on my heart for this place this morning. And if it ministers to anybody, it has ministered to me. But let me tell you, I don't know what valley you came in here this morning. But listen to me. Satan will throw you a bunch of lies and say you're worthless and you're hopeless and you're helpless. I'm here today to tell you, I've got good news, and that is this. You're valuable. You're precious. You are loved by an almighty God. How do I know that? Jesus paid it all to Him I know. Listen, He spread Himself out on Mount Calvary and died that you might have life and life more abundantly. You may have come in here in a valley. I pray today, my desire is this, that you leave on the mountaintop and say, thank you, Jesus, that there is grace and that grace is sufficient through this man called the Lord Jesus Christ. You are your greatest encouragement. Listen to me, here upon this earth, but there is a God that loves you. It is encouraging you to go on. Why? Because the valley that you're in becomes the testimony tomorrow while you're on the mountain to the person who followed you through the valley so that you might lift them up and out of that valley. My friends, that's where Joshua was. Everybody around him was serving the wrong guy. But I want you to understand that Joshua stayed firm. Today, I want you to understand today where are your choices taking you this morning. You see, Job was in the midst of a mess in Job 7:15, and he said this stuff. He said, the choices I'm making are they're choosing death and they are literally strangling me. That was Job. We know the story of Job. Some of you today, some of the choices you're making, they are the very death of you, and they are strangling you, and you're making those choices. Listen to me, the choice is yours. But then we find later in that same book, in Job chapter 34 and verse number 4, he says, let us choose what that is good, that is perfect, that is to uplift the name of the Lord God Almighty. Today I want you to know that where you are is because of even choices that you have made in your life. And I say to you what Joshua said, choose this day who you'll serve. Fourthly, it is this. Verse number 19 and verse number 20, listen to me. In this passage of Scripture, we need to be reminded as we look at this, said Joshua said, and the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, He will turn and not turn and He'll do you, He will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that, He hath been done for you so good. He has been good to you, and yet you have chosen the wrong way. Listen, mate, I want you to understand something today. You can't do it alone. You think you're tough, you think you're strong, but you can't do it alone. Let me tell you something, you need help. And the greatest help is Jesus, and the second greatest help is the body of believers in which you're a part of. If you can't find help there, then you need to understand something. Listen to me. You need to make yourself available for that help. Listen, who can be honest with you this morning? Who is the person that you have in your life that if you're just truly messed up, you're making bad choices, they can walk up to you, wrap their arm around you and say, you know what, brother, sister, I love you, and so therefore I'm going to be honest with you. You got to get some things straight in your life. Listen to me. If you've not allowed anyone in your life to be that honest with you, listen, then you need to tear down some walls and let some people be honest with you. Why? Because you're on a road that leads to destruction. You can't handle it. You're on the road to a breakdown in your life. In this passage of Scripture, we've got to understand that we've got to allow the Lord to deal with our hearts and our lives. Who do you have to allow to speak into your life? I'm grateful that I have those people in my life that can speak into my life. I'm grateful that I have a wife that is that way, that can speak into my life. Parents that can speak into my life. A mother-in-law that can speak into my life. Other pastors that can speak into my life. But there'd be amazing to you how many times I walk around this world and there are people that don't have anybody that will speak into their lives. This morning I want you to know we've got to have that. And then listen to what everybody say. Then you need to be willing to listen. They can speak into your life, but if you're not listening, it's no good. You got to be willing to listen. Now listen to what everybody say. Be careful who you let speak into your life. Can't let just anybody. You better let someone that is proving themselves to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need the world speaking into your life. That's the problem that many are in today. Oh, the people that speak into my life. Well, I go to the club with them. I go to the bar with them. I get the pill with them. I sit and listen to the gossip with them. That's the problem. That's the mess that's made in their life. Listen, we need godly men and women that we allow to speak into our life. Let me tell you this, it hurts, but it's okay. Proverbs chapter number 11 and verse number 14, the Bible says, those who have no counsel, they will fall, but there is wisdom in many counsel. Today I tell you, there is wisdom to allow people to talk to us and tell us what's going on. Fifthly and last, first thing we looked at today was what? Let's be real. Second was quit trying to lie to yourself. Thirdly, the choice is yours. Fourthly, you can't do it alone. And then verse number 5, section number 5, listen. In verse number 19 through verse number 24, it is written all over it, and that is this. It is Jesus, only Jesus. It is Jesus, only Jesus. What is being said there? Listen what it goes on and says in verse number 24. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and His voice will we obey. His voice will we obey. My friends, as I think about this passage of Scripture, how beautiful it is as you read from verse 1 to all the way out to verse number 24, the mindset of the people totally changed. This morning I ask you this question. Listen to me. Will you allow your mindset to change? This morning you may be a child of God and you're listening to the words of Satan and discouragement. And God's saying, you know what, I want you to do great things for the honor and glory of the Lord. But you're listening to the world. You're listening to those seeds that are sown in your life of Satan. Today you may be a child, maybe someone that doesn't know, doesn't have that relationship with Christ, and you're just listening to the world. I don't want to do that. I don't want to go there. I don't want to live that life. Listen to me. You can't live it anyway. You've got to surrender it all over to Christ. I can't live the Christian life today. I've got to turn it over to Him. It's Jesus. Only Jesus. You see, we've got to quit playing because we need to admit, I need Jesus. This morning you're saying, well, I got this. That's a great lie of Satan today. That he's convinced you that you've got this. Can I tell you with all the love of my heart? You don't. You don't have this. You didn't get up this morning without the grace of God in your life, did you? You didn't move here. You didn't drive here today. You didn't. It's not about us. We need Jesus. You see, as you're not as together as what you portray, are we? Can we be honest this morning? We're not together like what we portray. We come in and we put it all together, and we may button up our suit coat, and I'll be transparent. I don't have it all together. I don't. I don't. There are things in all of our lives that Satan puts in our way. We don't have it all together. So I've got to get up every day and trust Jesus. I've got to get up every day and just trust Him. You see, the reality is that you need to put it in Jesus' hands and say, I can't fix it. I put it in your hands. I can't fix it. I just can't. I can't fix it. There are times in our lives when things go wrong with things around us. There, for the most part, if it's a building, I feel like I can build the building. I've got construction mindset, a little bit of mechanical mindset in my mind, but there are some times that there are some expertise that need to happen in my life. There are times that I have to call up my mechanic and say, my car, what's it doing? It's doing this. Blah, 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 blah. And he says, well, what's that? I said, I don't know. That's why I call you. I don't know. All I can do, listen. And so I put that vehicle in the hand of someone that can interpret what blah, 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 blah means. I don't speak car. You can tell. I speak hillbilly mostly. That's it. And so I put that in his hands, and then he fixes it, and I get back in. I pay the bill and I walk away. But here's the good news today. My life, there are times that I look at it and go, it's doing this, blah, 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 blah. And I put it in the hand of God, and God fixes it. But the beautiful part about it is this: the bill has already been paid through Mount Calvary. And I get the joy of living with Jesus. This morning, let me ask you some questions. Where is your mind? Do you find yourself in Romans 12:2 that need to renew your mind? Can I tell you, as we looked at these passages of Scripture, the Bible says that God is a jealous God and He does not take second place. He doesn't. Either He's Lord of all, or He is not Lord at all in your life. There is no room for second place. My friends, today I ask you this question as we wrap this up this morning. I ask you, where is the Lord in your life? Have you allowed Him to be first and foremost? Have you allowed Him to be the front and center? Or have you said, you know what, God, I've got this. And I don't think that He is a God that laughs at us because it's very serious. But I believe that He sits in the corner probably and shakes His head going, they don't get it. This morning I want to ask you a question. Do you get it? Do you get it? You don't have this. We have to turn it over to the Lord. You see, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 and in verse number 1 through verse number 4, it is so beautiful, and I want to read the last couple verses in 3 and 4, and it says, "That which have seen and heard and declare unto you that you may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." This morning, listen to me. Your joy may not be full. It may not. You may look at your life and you say, "Man, I came in and I put my church face on." Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Y'all know I got my church face on. "Oh, how are you today? Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm just good. I'm just great, great." And you walked in the door crying your eyes out. You rode in the car biting your tongue so you didn't fight with your spouse. You got children, you want to, as they say in Kentucky, you just want to pop their heads off. What in the world are you saying? You just, at your wit's end. And yet we come into the house of God and we want to act like we got it all together. Listen to me. God knows. God knows. My encouragement for us this morning is this: can we just quit playing the game? We need Jesus. We need Jesus. This morning you're saying, "Listen, oh, well, what do you want? What do you want?" Listen, here in a minute we're going to have a song. They're going to play a song. We're going to do something. I can promise you we're going to do something. There's going to be music playing. And I'm going to ask you to just come and kneel at this altar and quit playing games with Jesus. You came to church today and you had no desire to walk out. Today you may even be sitting there going, "I don't want to hear it. I can't wait till he's done. I got a pot roast in the oven. I'm ready to, the McDonald's is calling my name. I don't listen, but let me tell you something. You may have had your agenda, but God's got his this morning. And that is that we humble ourselves and seek the face of the Lord. You need to not let anything stand in your way of doing business with the Lord. Because let me tell you something. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows you better than your mama, your daddy. He knows you better than grandma and grandpa. He knows you better than your children. He knows, listen, that's scary. He knows what's going on in your mind right now. So here in just a few moments, the invitation is not for you to come to me or to my sermon. The invitation is this: would you just come and be real this morning with Jesus? If you're a child of God and you're trying to control it, let go. If you're lost and without Jesus Christ and you think, "I'll just not answer," a blank is still wrong. Today I tell you what Joshua said. Choose you this day who you'll serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today and thank you for the joy of being in your house today. Lord, as we come to this time of invitation, my prayer is this: that people will just come, kneel, and pray. Father, I pray that whatever it is that is on people's hearts, that, Father, that you would bring them, that you would break them, Father, that the walls would come down, that they would trust you, and, Father, that, Lord, it's not that they would respond to a sermon. That's not what it's all about. Father, my heart's desire that as they leave these doors, as they come to this altar, God, that there is a freedom that they've never had. God, I pray, Father, that you would draw them to your freedom that only you give. This morning, Lord, I pray that people would just be free like they have never been before because they've laid it all down. Give them, Father, the freedom that only you give them. Lord, if there's someone here that, Lord's a child of God, just needs to lay it down, let them lay it down. Father, today, if there are those that are here that are lost without Jesus, Father, I pray that today would be the day of their blessed salvation. Lord, it's your invitation, your people. Draw them to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand across this place? And you're going to play a song? Is that what we're going to do? If you would just play a song, maybe just bow your heads, close your eyes. This altar is open. Here's what I want to ask you. Would you come and just kneel and pray? If God's called you to this altar, would you come right now? Would you come? It's open. Would you come? Jesus.